And some, you know, there might be, I recognize too that on a day like today, there may be different pictures and different kind of memories and even some painful, or maybe even some a painful time that you might go through on a day like today. But we want to recognize in many ways just the wonder of what womanhood is. And I, you know, I don't have this up on the screen, but Proverbs 31 talks about, you know, the uniqueness, the amazing kind of element of what womanhood is so much about. It says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife or woman? She is more precious than rubies." It goes on to talk about the different endeavors that she goes into. It's a great passage, actually, to look into. We're going to be going through Proverbs starting out next Sunday and continuing on through there and looking at a series called Better starting next week, which talks about what's better. And so much of Proverbs is you got these choices in life. You can choose this or you can choose better. And this passage is about a woman who chooses God and chooses to use her energies for the building up of others. And that's so much about what motherhood is about. It says, "She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instruction with kindness. She carefully watches over everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise." And so this morning we dedicate a day like today in honor and in praise of motherhood and what it means to be a mom. I was wondering about where it originated from, and it was interesting to see some of the roots of it, of where this day came from. Turns out that it was almost 100 years ago, 1914, when the resolution was passed, I guess initially in the U.S. Congress, to officially establish the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day. But the person who was kind of behind it all, it started in the small town of Grafton down in West Virginia, because there was a woman who lost her mom in 1905, and she was so kind of devastated by that that she just started doing this day of honoring mothers, because this woman, Anna Marie Reeves Jarvis, had such a legacy of what she had done in her life. And it's inspiring, I think, no matter who you are, to look at what she was about. She organized a club of women to nurse wounded soldiers from the North and South during the Civil War. And after the war, she started these Mother's Friendship Days, is how it started. And the idea was to reconcile families having been divided by the conflict. You can imagine a civil war, how that would just kind of rip even families apart. And how it was about reconciling. And you know, the neat thing about what we have as a ministry, both mothers and all of us, really, is to reconcile people together, to bring families together. And what's wonderful about a day like today is that it can be a launching point for families to come together and to stand with and for each other. How can we learn from motherhood? How can we reciprocate that kind of selflessness? Now, as I said, that isn't always the case, but as Christ, we might not all have that kind of model in our lives. I was looking at Elisa Morgan. She writes in The Upside of an Upside-Down Life. I love the title of that even. How do you look at the upside, even when you've had an upside-down life? And she had found it in the gospel and what God had given her. She writes, "My parents divorced when I was 5. My older sister, younger brother, and I were raised by an alcoholic mother. While my mother meant well, truly she did, most of my memories of her are of my mothering her rather than her mothering me. Alcohol altered her love, turning into something that wasn't love. I remember her weaving down the hall of our ranch home in Houston, Texas, glass of scotch in hand. She would wake me at 2 a.m. just to make sure I was asleep. I would wake her up at 7 a.m. to try to get her off to work. Sure, there were good times, like Christmas and birthdays, when we went all out and celebrated us, and she went all out and celebrated us as children, but even those days ended in the warped glow of alcohol. What she did right was lost in what she did wrong." And she writes, "When I was asked to consider leading MOPS International, a vital ministry that nurtures mothers, I went straight to my knees, then to the therapist's office. How could God use me, who had never been mothered, to nurture other mothers? The answer came as I looked into the eyes of other moms around me and saw their needs mirroring my own. God would take care of my deficits. God would take my deficits and make them my offering. He would answer his promise found in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that amazing? That's the power of the gospel. That whatever our story is, whatever mixed kind of deal we come from, that God can take whatever that is and turn that into power and turn that into a ministry in our lives, an identification point with somebody else. So wherever you might find yourself this morning, as a mom, as a person, as a child of a mom, how do we move forward and say, how do I take on really the spirit of what Jesus was? I mentioned a few weeks ago that the verses, and it just struck me so powerfully how Jesus gave us the model of love. And one of the final things that he did on the cross is look down on the disciple John. And it says in John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27, when Jesus saw his mother standing beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. That would have been John that took care of Jesus' mom. It's a powerful thing, isn't it? That was one of the last words as Jesus was taking the shame of the world on his shoulders. He would reach out. And while being victimized, having the cruelest thing you can ever imagine happen to him, he's thinking about others, and specifically his mom. And tradition tells us that John was the one disciple that lived a long life, and I believe he would have seen her until she went to heaven to see her son, which is a cool thought. How can we love like Jesus loved? And I wanted to just make it really practical this way and say, give you six ways to love your mom. And the first one I put down is love her verbally. Tell her you love her. Now sometimes, you know, especially men have the mindset. Now I'm talking about moms that might be your own mom that you have or a mom that lives in your house with you. Sometimes husbands think, you know, I told her on the day that I married her that I loved her. And if anything changes, I'll let her know. That's not enough. We need to be verbal. We need to let people know. It makes you more of a man rather than less when you do that. There are so many roles in this world. And I know a lot of times moms juggle both the workplace and the home. And that is a necessity many times. But oftentimes in the workplace, there's perks. You get commendation. You get greater responsibility oftentimes when you do a good job. Sometimes there's great, you know, there's financial reward. That doesn't happen a lot at home. Not a lot of moms go to bed at night thinking, you know, man, that really went well. That went really well, you know? And nobody says to them, the way you disciplined your kids today on that issue, you nailed it. That was good. Very rarely does that happen in the chaos of parenting. But moms need to hear that they're loved. And in the midst of wiping noses and bums and washing clothes and running kids around to activities and reminding kids for the zillionth time to clean their room, moms need to hear that. And whether it be you're a kid and you're a teenage kid or you're a husband or you might be out of your home and your mom, you just know that she needs to hear that. Maybe you've never even said that and you're a long time out of the home. Let her know that you love her. Let her know that. Tell her that. Children need to hear that they're loved. Spouses need to hear that they're loved. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable, then you just get comfortable with it. Just get comfortable with saying it. If you say it's not your wiring, just make it your wiring. But start to say, I love you. Love her affectionately. Can we give our moms a hug without her not asking for it? Or a neck rub, or whatever it is, but affectionately say, you know what, I'm going to reach out and touch. The model that we have, again, is the way Jesus, again and again throughout the Gospels, you think about this. You know, we take it so for granted when you read the Gospels that Jesus went out of his way to touch people. I mean, he was touching strangers and sick and people that other people would never touch. And when you think about how the power of touch is so healing, so life-giving, do that. Give her a hug. Give her a physical touch. After all, she's the one who, first held you, who first ever touched you. You came out and she cuddled you. She stroked your head. She rubbed your feet, put your cheek up to yours. The power of physical touch is incredibly powerful to go about that. You might say, well, we're not really a huggy family. Well, you know what? We can change that. We can become more physical in our affection to each other and to do that, for each other. Love her affectionately. Love her patiently. Love her patiently. The verse in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, love is patient. Love is kind. You know, sometimes we don't think of patience as being necessarily a symbol of love. But really, you know, it's one of the most powerful ways that we communicate love to somebody else is when we are patient with them, when they might not meet our high levels of expectation, or maybe our unrealistic levels of expectation. And again, when it comes to being a mom, oftentimes there's just this incredible sense of being overextended. You're giving 100% to your work, you're giving 100% to your husband, you're giving 100%, you just got no percentage left. And it is amazing how often, and I know that because it comes close to home, how we become impatient with a mom who there's expectations and somehow our clothes aren't clean or we didn't have the food ready or it wasn't expected. The mom's expected to pick their kids up at a certain time, and if they're 5 minutes late, then sometimes there can be scoldings. You know, we really need to think about that. How do we be patient with somebody who is so oftentimes so overextended? How do we live that out in our families? And we might be in the throes of that with young kids or teenage kids, but to look at it and say, you know what? I know that the expectations are unbelievable. Nothing in the world compares to the physical, emotional, and spiritual commitment that it takes for this role in life to do that. And it is so important that one of the greatest ways that we can show appreciation to moms is to be patient when the demands are so overwhelming, to be patient when we feel inconvenienced, whatever that might look like. You know, some adults too might find themselves in the place where the parent is getting older, and it's important to be patient as well. And I think that can be a danger too, of kind of mom's in that place now. And I came across a letter that was read from James Dobson. It was written by an 80-year-old woman, and it was written for her children on her birthday. So she's 80, and she's writing a letter. And she says, I suppose my upcoming birthday started my thoughts along these lines. This is a good time to tell you that what I truly want are things I can never get enough of, yet they are free. I want the intangibles. I would like you to come and sit with me and for you to be relaxed. We can talk or we can be silent. I would just like for us to be together. I need your patience when I don't hear what you say the first time. I know how tiresome it is to always be repeating, but I must ask you to repeat. I need your patience when I think too much about the past. With my slowness and my set ways, I want you to be tolerant with what the years have done to me physically. Please be understanding of my personal care habits. I spill things. I lose things. I get unduly excited when I try to figure out my bank statements. I can't remember what time to take my medication or if I took it already. I take too many naps, and sometimes sleep helps pass the day. Well, there you have it. Time, patience, and understanding. Those are the priceless gifts that I want. One of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest ways we can demonstrate love is to live out this verse. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love her patiently. Love her attentively, I have as a fourth one. To listen. To take the time, and again, there's patience ties into this, but to actually have an ear for mom. To listen. She's been the one who, so many times as we've grown up, has been the one who has really listened and understood and stood behind us and always been on our side. And now it's time to really listen to her. There might be a new era of life that she might be going through. Might be some new struggles, some new questions that might be raised for her in life. And it's important to listen attentively, to love attentively. Ultimately, love pays attention. And again, when you look at the model of Jesus and his ministry, you have so much dialogue where he asks, what would you want? Or he heard from the person, some people in distress or going through a new, he would listen. He He wouldn't just kind of prescribe or demand or push. He'd just listen. Love her attentively. Love her gratefully. To have a grateful kind of spirit. To look at the things in life and say, these are the things that I'm really thankful for. It's amazing how that very simple thing can change our whole perspective in life. Now, we live in a broken and fallen world where there's just a lot of things that don't meet our hopes or our expectations or whatever. And it is so important to just stop for a moment and say, you know, what do I have to be thankful for? And what's great about Mother's Day is it's an opportunity to stop and just say thanks. It just gives us an opportunity, but can we live every day that way, like Mother's Day? Can we be out there thanking her for what she does? An elementary science class had been studying magnets and how metal objects are attracted to a magnet. And at the end of the term, the teacher put on an exam this question. 6 letters, starts with M, picks up things. What am I? Over half the children wrote mother. They didn't write down magnet. They wrote down mother. What picks up things? You know, it is so important for us to go through life noticing what is done for us and to say thank you. It's not just for that person, but it actually changes our hearts. The Bible talks about how thankfulness just actually changes us inside. I was really inspired a while back watching a movie called Gifted Hands. Highly recommended. It's about a Christian man named Ben Carson, who's in charge. He's the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's been awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. He's very accomplished in his field. He was actually the first one. He made medical history in 1987 by being the first surgeon to successfully separate Siamese twins that were joined at the back of the head. He took on a 70-member surgical team, and just amazing what he did. Incredible mind and incredible hands to be able to do what he does. But one of the things that's fascinating about his upbringing, and the movie goes through it, is that he was raised by a mother who was illiterate. He's an African-American guy, and him and his brother, his mother decided that her sons were going to do well. And so she would bring them to the library and assign books to them. This is outside of class. And assign books to them and ask for book reports back to her. And Ben Carson writes that he assumed she was always reading it. He didn't know until he was in junior high that she was actually illiterate. She couldn't even read what they were writing. But that was what she did. And she raised up hope in these guys. And it took an incredible amount of interest and accountability and courage to do that. And years later, someone asked Ben why his mother was still living with him even after he was married and had his family of his own. And he said, "You don't understand. If it weren't for that woman, I wouldn't be living here. She earned this." That's an incredible attitude of gratefulness to be able to do that. Love her gratefully. Love her honorably. And I guess I want to close this morning just by saying, you know what, moms, as the illustration here is on stage, we want to take our hats off to you. We want to honor you. Taking your hat off is a form of honor. And just say, it is amazing what you do. And in a culture that in some ways has devalued the role of being a mom and somehow put it in this different, somewhat second class, it is so important that we raise it up in our culture and say, that is a wonderful, amazing, selfless, unbelievable role that you fulfill. There are some societies, I know for myself coming from Africa, that highly esteem mothers. Sometimes it can go a little overboard. I just read about in 1971, President Bokassa of the Central African Republic celebrated Mother's Day by ordering the execution of all men jailed for crimes against their mothers. Now, that's pretty severe. That's really severe. Crimes against your mother. I love what Dan, this guy, I believe it's in the States, Dan Hamilton, he says, he posted an auction on eBay titled Best Mother in the World. And the winning bidder would receive an email from his mom. He said, any email from his mom, he said, would make you feel like you are the most special person on earth. And it turns out that in the auction's 7-day run, 42,000 people went through it. and took a look. 92 offered a bid, pushing the price from $1 to $610 closing price. You know, the worth and the value of somebody who believes in us and makes us feel special is incredibly profound. And moms, we want to honor you today for doing that. Like I said, there's often times, if you're using the baseball analogy, you don't go to bed thinking, man, I hit it out of the park today. You know, if anything, sometimes it's so easy to focus on the error. Maybe there was some error, even a perceived error. I think sometimes moms can be the very hardest on themselves in that way. And, you know, we might go to bed thinking, you know, I didn't do that well at being a mom today. And I want to just say that, you know what, God, He values you just for who you are. This is a message for all of us as human beings. But I think moms really need to hear that. Because sometimes the demands that moms face, they can start to feel pretty lousy. And it's so important to know that you don't earn God's love. Willie talked about that last week, justice, mercy, and grace. And God loves us just the way we are. He doesn't focus in on our errors and say, now you have to buck up and do better next time. He looks at us and He says, I am committed to you. I am committed to you no matter what. I love the verse in Isaiah 54, verse 10. It says, for the mountains may depart and the hills disappear, but even then I will remain loyal to you. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God makes a covenant with us. This isn't a contract based on how much we hit it out of the park or how many errors we make. This is God saying, you are on my team. I pick you. I want to do life with you. And I think if we get this concept right, we're much more willing to invite Him into every part of our parenting. If we know that that's the heart of God, we don't just kind of go, okay, I'm all alone in this. I'm doing this another day. We actually invite Him in with us. And there can be a huge amount of pressure that one feels in this area of motherhood that can just affect one's self-esteem. And if it can destroy a relationship with God if we think that God somehow operates with us on this conditional contractual basis. But what the Bible says is that He has a covenant with us. And He stands with us. And He's there to coach us, to go to bat for us. And you know, the amazing thing is that even in our errors, sometimes God can use that. He can take something good out of that. And that's not an excuse. It's just that there's hope. There is hope, no matter what. And He doesn't look at us and judge us. I know sometimes, so oftentimes in our kind of complex world, there's so many perspectives and people, you know, a mom can be judged for working or not working or for doing schooling this way or that way, whatever it might be. Just know that God loves and celebrates your uniqueness. Do the job that God has commissioned you to do. Not what He's asked another mom to do. There's no one size fits all for mom. Hear God's calling and uniqueness, your own energy level, what He's called you to do, and do that. And God looks at you and He says, I have a covenant promise with you. I will be there. He deeply loves you. That's what we celebrate about God. He has a deep love for us. And He charges us with these responsibilities in life, and for some, He would give these children to, and He says, I want you to do that. For others might be acting out as a mom to others. They might not have kids of their own, but they just go, you know what, I'm gonna step in and bless children. And God says, you know, as you raise these kids, there is a reward. I will honor you. And though it may not come from others, you are never alone. I am with you. I will be there for you. He's a merciful and loving God. So I want to honor you this morning, moms. And I want to say for all of us, how do we go about that today, and not just today, but every day, but just to go out of our way to say, Mom, I love you. Take these six ways. Take whatever other ways that God puts on your heart and go about doing that. I want to invite you to stand together and we'll close. God, I just want to thank you that you are a God who absolutely loves us. And I think in some ways, for some of us, God, as we've seen motherhood kind of demonstrated and lived out, we've gotten a picture of you. We thank you that, God, you are the perfect father and mother to us, that you are committed to us, that there is that kind of mother bear sort of instinct that you have for us. You stand behind us and you love us. And we just want to open our hearts to be affirmed by your love again this morning. And I just pray for each mom that might be here, whether they're in the midst of the very intensive physical phase of raising children in the young years or the sometimes demanding mental years later on. And maybe it's the kids are out of the house now and there's another kind of phase. Whatever it is, God, I just pray that you would again tell each one that you love them, that they are important to you, that you can use every part of their lives. And I pray that you would help us to invite you into every aspect of the parenting, of the roles that we have in life. And God, I just pray that you would empower us to be people who would, in so many ways, give your love to others, and especially on a day like today, to the moms. I thank you that you are there to empower us for that. In your name, amen. Well, have a very good week. I guess there are going to be, first of all, maybe say, if you want to drop by at the table, there's an opportunity to sign up for the Wall of Prayer. There's also the men's retreat coming up, and there, I believe, are chocolates for the women in our midst, and maybe if there's extras, there might be for some of us as well. Have a really good week.
All right, we've been acknowledging and celebrating mothers this morning. We're just going to close by acknowledging and celebrating Jesus and our Heavenly Father, our perfect parent. I like the words of verse 1 here. It says, what's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one.
Music with the heavens, we will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us, like a fire burning. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing. Sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. You are the love that frees us. You are the light that leads us, like a fire burning. Son of God, you are the one. are the one. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus. Sing, 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 and make music with heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of Jesus.
God bless everybody. Bless your moms. Bless everybody. Have a great week.